Nothing in the 20 weeks at Quantico had prepared me for this. A crime scene investigator who had identified himself as Earl Royster when we'd first arrived addressed my boss, FBI Supervisory Special Agent Jack Harper.
All the victims were buried.
He held up a finger. His eyes squeezed shut and he sneezed.
Sorry about that. My allergies don't like it down here. They were all buried the same way.
This was my first case with the FBI Behavioral Analysis Unit and it had brought me and the three other members of my team to Salt Lake, Kentucky. The discovery was made this morning, and we were briefed and flown in from Quantico to the Louisville field office where we picked up a couple of SUVs. We drove from there and arrived in Salt Lake at about 4 in the afternoon. We were in an underground bunker illuminated by portable lights brought in by the local investigative team. The space was 11 feet beneath the cellar of a house that was the size of a mobile trailer. We stood in a central hub from which four tunnels spread out like a root system. The space was 15 feet by 7.5 feet and 6.5 feet tall. The walls were packed dirt, and an electrical cord ran along the ceiling and down the tunnels with pigtail light fixtures dangling every few feet. The bulbs cut into the height of the tunnels by 8 inches. I pulled on my shirt collar, wishing for a smaller frame than my 6'2". As it was, the three of us could have reached out and touched each other if we were so inclined. The tunnels were even narrower at 3 feet wide.
It's believed each victim had the same cuts inflicted, Royster began. Although most of the remains are skeletal, so it's not as easy to know for sure, but based on burial method alone, this guy obviously adhered to some sort of ritual. The most recent victim is only a few years old and was preserved by the soil. The oldest remains are estimated to date back 25 to 30 years. Bingham moved in 26 years ago.
Lance Bingham was the property owner, age 62, and was currently serving 3 to 5 years in a correctional facility for killing 2 cows and assaulting a neighbor. If he had moved in 26 years ago, that would put Bingham at 36 years old at the time. The statistical age for a serial killer to start out is early to mid-30s. The CSI continued to relay more information about how the tunnels branched out in various directions, likely extending beneath a neighboring cornfield, and the ends came to bulbous tips like subterranean cul-de-sacs.
There are 11 rooms and only 10 bodies, Jack summarized with impatience and pulled a cigarette out of a shirt pocket. He didn't light up, but his mouth was clamped down on it as if it were a lifeline.
Royster's gaze went from the cigarette to Jack's eyes.
Yes. There's one tunnel that leads to a dead end, and there's one empty grave.
Jack turned to me.
What do you make of it?
He asked, the cigarette bobbing on his lips as he spoke. Everyone looked at me expectantly.
Of the empty grave?
I squeaked out. Jack squinted and removed the cigarette from his mouth.
That and the latest victim.
Well?
My collar felt tighter, and I cleared my throat, and then continued.
Bingham had been in prison for the last 3 years. The elaborate tunnel system he had going would have taken years to plan and dig, and it would have taken a lot of strength. My guess would be that Bingham wasn't working alone. He had help, and after he went to prison, someone followed in his footsteps.
Jack perched the unlit smoke back between his lips.
Hmm.
I wasn't sure how to read hmm, but the way his gaze scrutinized me, I was thinking he wasn't necessarily impressed.
Anyway, you want to see it for yourself?
Royster gestured down one of the tunnels and took a step toward it.
I know I haven't seen anything like...
Royster didn't catch his sneeze in time, and snot sprayed through the air.
Ick.
I stepped back. More sniffles.
Again, sorry about that. Anyway, this way.
Jack motioned for me to follow behind Royster ahead of him. I took a deep breath, anticipating the tight quarters of the tunnel. Sweat dripped down my back, and I pulled on my collar again.
Go ahead, kid.
Jack directed. He adopted the pet name for me from the moment we'd met, and I wish he'd just call me by my name. Both Jack and the CSI were watching me. The CSI said,
"We'll look at the most recent victim first. Now, as you know, the victims alternated male and female. The 10th victim was female, so we believe the next is going to be..."
"Let me guess, male,"
Jack interrupted him.
"Yeah."
Royster took off down the third tunnel that fed off from the bottom right of the hub. I followed behind him, tracing the walls back with my hands. My heart palpitated. I ducked to miss the bulbs just as I knew I'd have to and worked at focusing on the positive. Above ground, the humidity sucked air from the lungs. In the tunnels, the air was cool but still suffocating. I counted my paces. 5, 6. The further we went, the heavier my chest became, making the next breath less taken for granted.